to be 14 again when all there was to worry about was school and friends and looks and likes and dates and drugs and trolls and looks and friends and trolls and likes and oh, forget it. It is tough to be a teen, and anti-social media makes it downright dangerous. Tonight on Banfield, how to be okay when the world says you have to be perfect. Hello and welcome to Banfield. Humans, especially young humans, have cared about their appearance and popularity for as long as there have been other humans. But putting us all of us humans, in the same space, cyberspace, at the same time, to say that it's messed with our minds would not even begin to describe the impact. In 2018, the Pew Research Center found 90% of U.S. teens go online multiple times per day. 45% say they are online, quote, almost constantly, which could be a problem even if the content they were exposed to were wholesome. LOL. You don't need me to tell you that much of the content tells young people, especially young women, that they are too fat, or they are too thin, or they are too fake, or they're not pretty enough. And so many people try to get thinner or thicker or prettier or even perfect. And sometimes they die trying. Tonight, we'll be meeting with some survivors, beginning with the very successful model, actor, and podcaster, Hayley Hasselhoff. Yes, she has a famous dad and a famous name, but her career and her message are all hers. Tara Durvin is an aspiring filmmaker who wants to use her own, sometimes painful story to change the culture. And Amelia Milo, in the red, is a singer and songwriter and actor who inspired her peers to lose those filters and love their bodies. Welcome to all three of you. I am so happy to have this conversation with you because while I am 53 years old, I was once 14 and I remember feeling like I was fat and I didn't even have social media. So Hayley, maybe you can start me off by telling me how on earth does a young woman survive this nowadays?
Well, you know, I think for me, I've been a body activist since I was 14, in a time when media didn't talk about the beauty comes in all different shapes and sizes. And I had the blessing of being able to go to work as an underground work, it felt like, where I was working with women who were voluptuous and fit and curved and toned. And I was like, wow, we need to be speaking up about this because beauty comes really from the uniqueness and taking back the power on who you are. And what I found throughout my years is it's really not about my self-image or my body image. It's more about my relationship with my mental well-being. Because when my mental well-being is suffering, which we all have just as much as we have as physical health, the first thing that goes is my relationship with my self-image. So the first thing that happens is I start to blame my body for not hitting that milestone. I start to live in a state of judgment. So what I try to do on a consistent basis, not only for myself, but what we project in the podcast and more, is all about living in a full state of acceptance. Because when you accept, then you start to become open to all the wonderful possibilities there are waiting for you out in this world.
Yeah. And you mentioned the podcast. It's called Redefine You, a conversation for well-being. And kudos to you for doing that. So, you know, obviously having a name like Hasselhoff, it's not like Smith, right? People will, hey, wait, I've heard that before. So that could be a blessing because you can get a little bit more platform a little quicker. But it can also be a curse. And I'm wondering how it's been for you.
Definitely. I mean, I think the thing is that I started out at a age where my parents had to come with me to my opportunities. I was 14, missing school and having to show up on set. It was a blessing because I think it showed me at a very young age that you can do what you love as long as you put your hard work, your soul, and your passion into it. It's a curse because I think sometimes people may not take you as seriously when you walk into the door. You have to imagine me and my father, yes, we're in the same industry, but we're two different completely different people. We are championing different things in our lives and wanting to be able to make a movement through it. So it's been its journey on itself. But I have to say, I always look at it as a positive at the end of the day, because it taught me at such a young age that I could use my voice for a purpose, that I have the ability to make my own stamp in this industry, as no matter how hard I work, and also just the love that I had for storytelling. Through everything I've done, that's what I've done. So that's whether that be through acting or through modeling, I've been able to be a body activist through the work that I do and through creativity, which has always innately been my way of coping with my mental health or coping with my body image.
I love that you call yourself a body activist. It's a fantastic term. And these pictures these are just spectacular images. No matter what anyone's predilection is for size, because some prefer skinny and some prefer heavier, and you just never know what people will say. To that end, when you were in your teens, you had a featured role in the ABC family series Huge. We were just looking at a few pictures of that beforehand. And I want to run a clip from it. It featured a whole bunch of teens at a fat camp. So I'm going to play this clip, and then I want to ask you something about it when it's over. Take a look.
You're like the slowest eater I've ever seen. I chew every bite 30 times. That's hardcore. I've been dieting since I was 10. It's probably the thing I'm best at.
It's such a sad commentary. It's probably the thing I'm best at. I'm not going to lie. I started dieting probably at the age of about 11 or 12, I think. I even had a pair of pants, Haley. And again, this is decades before social media got a hold of us. I had a pair of pants that I loved. They were Vidal Sassoon yellow corduroy pants. And I remember being traumatized when they just started to fit snug around my hips. Now, that's just, puberty. But I just assumed it was fat. And there are the pants. I found the picture. I was talking with the producer about this segment. I said, my God, I found the pants. I look at that picture now and I think I'm a twig. And I can't imagine how I thought I was fat. But I'm assuming that this is not a story that you haven't heard before.
Not at all. And I think the thing is that, maybe back then you didn't have social media, but you still have media. And I think that's why we can really make a movement through public figures coming out and sharing their vulnerability and their stories, because it allows you to know that you're not alone. And when you know that you're not alone and you can struggle and still succeed because your aspirational people, your role models are feeling the same way, you feel like it's okay to not be okay all of the time. And that maybe it's normal for you to have these senses of thoughts going through your mind. And if you could openly possibly speak about it, maybe you'll start to find the greatness that already is innately inside you. You know, when I did Huge, which was a scripted series, I was 17 years old, and it was a prominent place in my own life because my character, Amber, she dealt with body dysmorphia. And so at 17 years old, not how the world is today, I was already having to check in with myself, Haley, and figuring out as the actor, do you deal with body dysmorphia in your life? Is that something you want to heighten, or is that something you want to diminish in Amber? And I really identified my own relationship with my body, my own relationship with my worth. And I hope that because of my own experience, what I do hope is that there's other 17 years olds out there now really being able to identify what their relationship is with themselves, not what society tells you what your relationship is with yourself. And when you start to sit down and you actually take that all in for a moment, you might start to appreciate the greatness that you already are, that maybe you haven't seen because you've allowed society to start to tell you what should be the beauty of you. Now, social media, we talk a lot about the positive and the negative of it, but there is actually a positive side, because there's communities out there waiting to welcome you with open arms by saying, we want to celebrate you for who you are today. And, Amber, watching that scene, I remember it so vividly, because that was new to me as just Haley, a 17-year-old, reading that script, that there were girls out there that did chew their food 30 times to make sure that it did get processed in some way. And it was a learning lesson for me, definitely, and a blessing to be able to tell a story like that through film and TV, because as we all know, there's such an impact when you see somebody else that you can identify with, whether that be a storytelling in real reality or whether that being a story through film or TV.
You know, it doesn't seem that long ago for my generation to start, you know, the selfie thing. We thought it was crazy, you know, phones with cameras and people taking pictures of themselves. And now it's just part of life. So, Tara, I like to ask you something. I try to figure out where we are as a culture. On the one hand, you've got Kardashians who are very voluptuous. Well, not all of them, but some of them. And, you know, Jennifer Lopez, who had a very voluptuous figure, and they became, you know, cultural female leaders. And I sort of thought, well, wow, that's going to change this whole drive to be skinny for women. And I don't know if that's true, because I still see people trying desperately to look perfect in those selfies. So where are we with what women and girls really want to be?
Oh, wow. This is such a tender subject. You know, and anyone who's done acting, when you're portraying a role, you know, for some reason, I never get nervous with that, you know, but when you're sharing your own vulnerable sides, it is challenging. I want to commend each of you for being so brave and so bold and beautiful and intelligent from the inside out. To answer your question, I really feel that there is no one set standard of beauty. And I think that I struggle to even discuss women's bodies. That's all that the media wants to do. We want to put people into these categories. This is plus size. This is normal. What is normal? My God, I don't know what normal is. I don't want to be normal. I just want to be myself. And I think that's where the whole issue lies, is that, as Haley mentioned, you have celebrity, you have people with large platforms, and that could be used for good or bad. I don't think that social media is inherently bad or good. I think that everything in life can be a vessel to utilize in one way or the other. For me personally, when I see people who have a platform, who reach these young girls, and I will start with the negative because it really hurts me. And they use that to promote something like flat tummy tea. And you know that there are little girls, little boys, little anybody, not even just little. And they're looking at you, right? And they're knowing that maybe they don't look like that. And maybe they want to. But a child does not process, this person has a personal trainer, this person has plastic surgery, this person does not even look like that picture, because they are photoshopping, right? I love that song. I was listening to the song about no filters. And, you know, it's a problem. On the other end of it, if you utilize that for good to empower, you know, like you mentioned, Haley, there's communities welcoming people and making you feel not alone. That's beautiful. There is no one set standard of beauty, and I refuse
to
participate.
You're right, but yet these social media platforms continue to offer, you know, filter after filter. And so when we come back, Amelia, your song is called Filter Free, as I understand it, right? And this is a mission for you to try to encourage so many of the women that Tara was just talking about to cut with the filters already. Let's just be who we are. I want to ask you a little bit about it. And then I want to ask you if you think it's succeeding. That's the bigger question, right? We are back in just a moment. Welcome back. We are talking about body shaming in the culture, but also and especially online, and how to drive shame out of your game. My guests are model and actor Haley Hasselhoff, filmmaker and activist Tara Jervin, and musician and social media influencer Amelia Milo. Okay, Amelia, so before the break, I asked you about your song, Filter Free, and it's a bit of a mission too, right? But the bigger question that comes with that is, it's okay to ask people, but it's so tempting, right? To make yourself look better when you've got, like, again, and I'll bring them up, the Kardashians, they just always look perfect. And then I mentioned J-Lo before, and, you know, she's around my age and looks like she's 20. And I know it can't be I know it can't be true. I know it's got to be some filter. So do you need people like J-Lo and the other Kardashian folks to start, you know, dispensing with the filter stuff?
I think that what we need is, as a culture, is as a collective, not just to put it all on a few people, but as a collective to just start this conversation about loving ourselves, just like my song says, filter free, and loving ourselves as we are. And I think sometimes when we look at celebrities, we can often, you know, point fingers and say, oh, their photos must be filtered, or they must be doing something. But the truth is that they are just as vulnerable to this system as all of us are. They must be feeling that pressure from some place of power to feel the need to constantly be projecting a level of perfection. I think that the more people that can talk about this at any level, whether it be someone who's famous or someone who's a teacher at a local school, I think at any level, any size platform can help bring this to light and help people, especially kids, to love themselves as they are.
Okay, so I want to, first of all, if there's anybody, you know, who is crawling out from under a rock and doesn't know that you're an influencer, you're a big old deal on social media. And I want to play something about, well, first of all, it's I think Filter Free is in the backdrop of the song, but I want to play a little moment from one of your posts. So take a look at this. Do you dare to be filter free? I love the lyrics, and I think it's really altruistic. I'm wondering, Amelia, if you think it's possible, if we're looking ahead, is it really possible to get people to just stop with the crap?
I think it is. I do believe that we can all see past all of the superficial things that have taken place online, both online and in real life. And I think it is possible. I think it really just starts right here. The fact that we're having this show today with all of you beautiful women talking about loving ourselves and loving all people just as they are is the first step in the right direction. I think that conversations are happening, and it definitely is possible.
So all the positive messaging, it's fantastic. I just know that sometimes the social media is stronger. I mean, it's meaner and it's tougher, and it can really get down the toughest people, right? Even if you've got like Teflon outer shell, we're all human and it hurts, you know? So how do you think folks who aren't like you, I mean, you're pretty seasoned at social media now, you're an influencer, this is something you do on a regular basis. What about just the 14-year-old girl who's not used to it yet, how is she supposed to handle it?
That question right there actually really scares me, because social media is kind of like the Wild West. It just makes you open to everything and everyone at any moment. And there's a lot of pressure on social media, but there's also a lot of cyberbullying. So I do fear that if a certain internet troll starts to talk to and attack a child, what that could lead to. It does scare me. And I have been putting myself out there online for some time, but even I have to remind myself to take a step back and to have a thick skin when certain comments come into the fray, or certain DMs or certain messages. For example, even when I released my song Filter Free, I got so many wonderful comments when I stepped out and shared this message, and people said that they felt so seen by the message. But I also got a few DMs from, you know, haters or online trolls telling me, why are you spreading this message? I don't want to see your scars. I don't want to see this. What are you doing? And thankfully, I'm at an age now, at a maturity level now, where I can look at that and think, okay, you know, I'm not going to internalize that. But I do fear for children, for kids that might be receiving messages like that. I think my best advice is to know that people that are saying those messages, they're probably going through so much pain in their own life that they feel the need to project it onto someone else, and to not internalize that hatred, and to just know that they are beautiful and they should be.
You know, Haley, jump in here again, if you will, with me, because, you know, when this, you know, the internet's pretty young in the grand scheme of things. And when we started to learn about trolls and haters and, you know, just the unbearable anonymous meanness of social media, I used to think, well, you know, we're going to fix this. It's going to go away. We'll get a handle on it as a culture and we'll learn, you know, how to, you know, ameliorate this problem. I don't think so. I'm wondering if this is who we are now, and we are always going to live this way, and we are all going to have to be different people, starting with your generation and younger. You're just going to have to learn to live with awful. Is that, I hate to even ask that, but is that the way it is?
Well, you know, I'll go back to what Amelia was just saying. It's hurt people, right? So I think that, to be honest with you, sometimes as much as we want to be able to rewrite what's going on in the world right now, we can by continuously breaking the stigma, right? So for my generation and for what I've done with body image is rewriting beauty standards, rewriting idealistic standards of beauty. And then going into mental health, it's by breaking the stigma, by consistently having these conversations and educating people off of the vocabulary in which could be hurtful towards another person to be able to come forth before a crisis. So I think if you start to use those models as examples, as becoming to be a part of the change that you want to see in the bigger picture, just throughout your friends, your family, your peers, being able to stick up for what you believe in and how it should be treated. But I do think that when it comes to social media and there is a negative slur or there's a negative comment that comes out, we have to be able to just understand that person's probably going through something way bigger than what we're going through, and we have to just let it go and remember our worth. So the more that we can get tapped into understanding the power in ourselves, and the more that we can build a personalized toolbox to be able to revert back to those challenging moments or those moments that create flare-ups within us because of what other people's perceptions of ourselves are, that's where we know that we're taking care of ourselves, which innately, hopefully, will allow us to really tackle the problem as what it is. You know, as the body image movement can show you anything, you know, there's been plus size models since before my time, but it's only been this past, 8 years that the world knows about the curve industry in such a beautiful way, and that beauty does come in all different shapes and sizes. And now you see that fashion brands are opening up their size ranging and are finally listening to the public that beauty should be something that should be celebrated through fashion because it's a unified language. So I'm hoping that obviously through social media, it'll become the same thing. If there's more people who are coming out, you know, selflessly and vulnerably sharing their stories of their struggles or their challenges along the way, it allows for a more grounded place for you to be able to feel like you're celebrated for who you are and that you don't feel like you have to put on a specific facade. What I hate the most about social media and what people say is, oh, you share, you know, your five best moments in your life. And for me, I feel like I've looked at social media as a place of just putting things out that make me feel happy. It's not like I'm looking for the validation that comes back with it, but that's a sense of mindset. So it's really about being able to have that better relationship with social media for yourself first, to then help with the bigger movement and problem ahead.
I love these pictures of you, by the way. The whole time you've been talking, we've been looking at some of your modeling, your industry pictures, and they're really delightful. So we're going to go to break and continue this conversation in a minute. But going out to break, I want our audience to know that this is not just a problem for us ladies. This is a problem for men and boys, too, right? And Jonah Hill has really given us a good example of that. When earlier this year, he posted a tabloid picture of himself at the beach confessing that he was in his 30s before he ever took his shirt off in public, and said it was years of public mockery that kept him. So this is a story for your sons as well, folks. And we are back with another part of the business, and that is the media business, not just social, the TVs and the magazines. And where are we in this picture?
Lifetime, I have spent over $1 million on plastic surgery and procedures, including beauty treatments, makeup, glam squad. I had a rhinoplasty, 2 breast augmentations with implants, 2 Brazilian butt lifts, 2 rounds of hydrogel injections, and I am only 19 years old.
You know, the ribs do supply an important function.
That is from the show Botched on the TV network E, and all of it was upsetting, and then the 19 years old hit me, and that brings us back to our discussion of body image and how to love yours without spending $1 million. Tara Durbin, I have a question for you. Okay. That young woman who we just saw, I know you will. I wonder if she's a product of media. And when I say that, I don't just mean social media and likes and hates. I mean TV and magazines and radio and billboards that you cannot avoid when you're driving anywhere in this country. Is that why she does what she does? And is it getting any better on our end, the media?
Well, first and foremost, I never want to shame anyone. Someone mentioned hurt people hurt people. We also hurt ourselves. You know, I'm very inward. You know, when things hurt me, when I see things, I take it out on myself. Of course, we're all products of the media, of the billboards, the magazines, my God. But I cannot speak for her, right? She's her own, she has her own situation, and maybe she's very happy.
What about, those who are, you know, on those shows to just completely overhaul everything?
Well, I saw her before picture.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that young woman looked quite, I thought she looked really cute before the $1 million. I thought she looked lovely afterwards, but it's just the desire to completely change everything about you. I suppose that's the better question with regard to what message the media is sending out to everybody.
Yes, absolutely. There's so much pressure. I can tell you, as someone who's in the entertainment industry living in Los Angeles, there is not a day that goes by that I do not hear someone speaking in a self-deprecating manner about their bodies or criticizing someone else's or saying, oh, my agent told me I have to drop this or blah, 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 blah. This is 2021. What is going on? And it does come from within. It all has to come from within. If we feel those insecurities, you know, it definitely causes us to want to change, to try to meet it. But we have those pressures coming from every direction. We walk into Target and you see something that says anti-aging. It's like everything's like, buy this product, do this thing, so that you'll be one step closer to perfection. And you talk about plastic surgery, you know, it's if you have the money and you have the availability and it's right there, and you want to do it from an artistic standpoint, or at some point it could help someone from a, you know, truly medical issue, but it starts to get into psychological issues too. And that's why I personally cannot watch that show Botched, because I believe that those shows, I'm sorry, but I believe that they profit off of people who are not mentally well a lot of the time, and it's exploitative. And that's why I think a lot of reality TV right now is harmful as well, because it's not reality.
You know, that's such a good point when you say that. You know, that is such a good point, because I'm going to just admit it. I actually do watch that show. I'm sort of transfixed by it. Yeah. And I feel, now that you say this, I feel like, and maybe, Amelia, this is a good question for you. I feel like maybe I need to be a better, more responsible consumer before I start doling out, why is this happening and why can we change this? And this is terrible. Maybe it's my fault because I'm watching the shows and I'm buying the dresses and the makeup and the anti-aging. Is it up to us, effectively, not to complain, but to stop behaving as the consumer that propagates the industries?
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's really important to have perspective on what is going on, to take a step back and to realize that our worth actually isn't in all of the superficial, although it does seem to be always around us, whether it be on our phones or in advertisements we see at the mall. Our worth really does come from our heart and our soul and our character. And I think the more that we can repeat that, like an affirmation throughout the day and throughout our lives, the more we can realize that this is all this is all kind of superficial, and there's way more to life than the amount of likes you just got on your picture or the way that you look or how, what size you are. You know, we are just souls and we are living on this planet, and what really matters is the heart. So I think the more we can just repeat that on shows like this, the more people can start to believe it. Because I think right now we want to change, but right now we have to start to believe in the change and believe that there is more to humanity than just the superficial.
Well, Amelia, I don't think anyone could have said it better than that. I'm so thankful for your wisdom at such young ages. Tara and Haley, you too. Thank you very much for being on and talking about this extremely important issue. And I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your summer.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Straight ahead, the science of social media pressure and the stories behind it. And this question, how much social media is okay for your 14-year-old or your 15-year-old or your 16-year-old? And is the answer zero? We're going to dig into that next. My vulnerabilities I hide, like I've been a picture of myself. Welcome back. My next guest literally wrote the book on teens and body shaming. Nancy Jo Sales is a journalist, a Vanity Fair contributor, and she's the author of this, American Girls, Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teenagers. Her newest book just out is Nothing Personal, My Secret Life in the Dating App, Inferno. And I'm also pleased to welcome Catherine Smerling. She's a psychotherapist with a rich background in family issues and social media's effects on mental health. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me. Nancy Jo, I want to start with you and this little ditty that you wrote that kind of stood out to me. I'm just going to quote you verbatim. You say, for the first time, most American girls are engaged in the same activity most of the time. Let that sink in for a little bit. I wonder if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because shared experiences are great, but not if they're bad experiences.
Well, the experience that we're talking about is self-broadcasting, is self-promotion, is taking pictures of yourself. And as you've been talking about in the show, trying to make them look perfect and try to make them look like they fit into an image of having a certain kind of experience and a certain kind of life. So an inauthentic broadcasting of self, really catering to the demands of social media.
So you spent 2.5 years talking to teenage girls in 10 states, as I understand it, to do research for your book. What delighted you and what terrified you?
What delighted me was the honesty and the beauty of the hearts of these girls. Like the young women that you just had on. What troubled me, concerned me, was the almost universal harm that they were feeling from their experience on social media. And I think it's really important in these conversations to, I think personal experiences are important to note. And all the young women that you've had on, for example, are trying to make a change. And that's great. But they're trying to make a change in reaction to some very broad and very extreme trends that have resulted in really, you know, great dysfunction in the lives of girls as young as, you know, elementary school. There was just a study by the CDC last week saying that the mental health crisis that we've been seeing in teenagers for the last decade is now gotten younger and younger. And I fully predicted this happening. We're now seeing eight-year-olds winding up in the emergency room for mental health crisis. And this part of this is related to the pandemic and the loneliness and isolation that kids started to feel through the pandemic, but it's also entirely exacerbated by social media. And there's study after study after study now supporting that social media exacerbates feelings of anxiety, depression, loneliness. What you all have been talking about for the last 45 minutes, feelings of, you know, body image, body dysphoria, So, I mean, I don't think there's a lot that we can really call all that delightful about how social media has been affecting this generation of kids and the last. Like, there's sort of an overlap.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, we're part of it, right? Like, we all got on board pretty darn quickly and had to take our lumps with it as well. Dr. Smerling, I'd love you to jump in on what Nancy Jo just said about the universal harm, because I wonder all the time. I have two boys, 14 and 15, but if they were girls, I think I'd be terrorized by those phones in their hands. I feel like the answer to this is zero, but is there any safe amount of social media for someone who's 14 or 15 or 16 or 20?
I think that really depends on the family and the family values that in which children are living. And I think no more than an hour and a half a day, but especially during the pandemic, it really was a perfect storm because kids couldn't socialize. And the only way that they could socialize was on social media. So it served many different, it served as a lifeline for many people who were so isolated. So I think you have to take the context into consideration. But I think that social media is a reward. It's not the substance, it's a reward. And one thing that Nancy said that really struck me, and I'm seeing this in my practice a lot, is that the pressure to perform and the pressure to be perfect starts at a younger and younger age. And I really believe that in early childhood, when we're taught not to bully, it should be reaffirmed in social media that perhaps some of this stuff should go into schools and some of this stuff should be something that parenting classes and parents learn about, because they're the ones setting being role models and they're setting the standards for their kids. So it is coming younger and younger and younger, and it starts in the home in early childhood. So we can expect more of that at a younger age, unfortunately. And I do want to compliment you, Ashley. The three young women were fabulous. They were really fabulous, and they're great emissaries of their generation. We just need the self-esteem to start at a younger age. And it should be something that 4-5-year-olds in their own way should start to develop their own self-esteem so they have the support and they have the background to be able to fight this kind of bullying and stand up for themselves. Really important.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, just a little bit ago, I don't know who I said it to, but I think it was Haley. I said, are we stuck with it? Are we stuck with the awfulness that's happening in social media? Are we going to get harness it or get a handle on it or just be better as human beings? And, you know, I tend to think that this is life. And so if that's the case, coming up after the break, I want to pose this question to you guys. And that is, does Silicon Valley have any responsibility here? And is there something that perhaps is happening there that has really juiced what's going on in the minds of our kids? We're back with journalist and author Nancy Jo Sales and family therapist Catherine Smerling. Okay, Nancy Jo, in this book, very good reading, by the way, I'm going to read something else that you said, and it's this. Social media isn't a neutral place. It emanates from Silicon Valley. Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, these platforms are not organic. They're designed by people. And the culture of Silicon Valley is all about profit. So, I mean, it's not as if your kids are playing in a playground and creating games that they created themselves as children. They're playing games that Mark Zuckerberg created. And the game is how many likes do you get? And that game, it's called gamification of experience. And that game is all about getting you addicted to social media because it's all about getting you to want more and more likes. It's social conditioning. You get a little dopamine rush. Your kids do too. Anybody who has a brain does every time you get a like. And what is more likely to be rewarded on social media is perfection, and especially perfection that relates to sexualization when it comes to girls. So I don't think any of this is healthy at all for girls, and I especially girls, boys too. But it is social conditioning, and you know, people can read my book. Parents should also really read a book by Jaron Lanier called "Why You Should Delete 10 Reasons Why You Should Delete All Your Social Media Accounts Right Now." And this goes for adults, but for children as well. I think it's a very little book. It's not very expensive, and I think if you read it by one of the architects of this stuff, one of the people who, you know, is very central to the tech world, you won't be letting your kids on social media.
I hear you.
Even an hour a day.
Nancy Jo, I've wanted to do that forever, but I do recall long ago hearing TV is so bad for you. You can't have more than half an hour a day, and look at television today, you know, 40, 50 years later.
TV doesn't give you a dopamine rush every time you get a like. It's not interactive.
But I think I'm talking about the proliferation of the industry. It didn't diminish. It just is massive now, and I wonder about that. Dr. Smirling,
TV and social media are not the same.
It's really more the question of toothpaste is out of the tube. And Dr. Smirling, I asked it before. Well, does it mean that more parents and schooling need to really step up and change the framework that social media exists in? Because I just don't think people are going to delete their accounts.
They are not going to delete their accounts. And this is the way that they communicate. And this is the new 2021. We aren't going back to 1960. We're staying in 2021 and going forward. We need a lot more psychoeducation. We need a lot more awareness. Kids have to become aware how dangerous social media can become, as far as even pornographic, child pornography, as far as being safe, as far as wanting likes. Personally, there's a way to disassociate the likes from your picture, and I think all parents should probably do that. So you never know how many times your picture is liked or not liked, but you're just putting it out there and you get comments, but not likes. There's also a way, this is a community. This is a problem that's all over the world. This is a community of change. People start having to be nicer to each other. They have to be kind.
That's not how social media works. It rewards aggression and hostility.
I understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
But there has to be some change in Silicon Valley as well.
I'll tell you what I like, ladies. I like this. I'm going to end on this. The Italian website that one of our producers found that posted pictures of the same swimsuit model from different angles. And if we can show that, it asks, do you ever postpone buying a bikini because you know it won't fit like the model you saw on Instagram? Well, guess what? Even the model isn't like that in real life. Anything we are used to hating about our body is actually completely normal. Now, that's the kind of post that I think can change, the world for
I
have to leave it there. I'm so sorry. I'm just fresh out of time.
They shouldn't see that
Nancy Jo Sales, thanks so much for your input. And Catherine Smirling, also thank you for yours. It's a great discussion. And for anyone out there, I encourage you, do your reading. Parents, keep track of the social media of your kids. And all of you, deep breath. Be real. We'll see you again tomorrow.